The castle was made of the same stone as the wall, with the same weaknesses. She jammed her fingers into the crevices and pulled herself up, finding places for her sock-clad feet. She couldn't feel them at all anymore. Idly, as she broke the window glass with her elbow, Irina wondered if Schluter's society friends would disapprove of his musical tastes. Of course, they wouldn't approve of his trying to kill Mario to get the Viking treasure either. Then again, some of the people Schluter associated with might have envied him the chance to profit from someone else's death. Irina reached in and unlocked the window, then opened it and slid inside. She was in a bedroom that looked as if it was never used. Her legs and arms were cramped, but she knew it was from the cold and not the exertion. She worked hard to remain physically fit. Her life had depended on that too long to ever forget it. Irina charged her lungs with oxygen so her body would acclimate faster and get warm again. Then she hefted the crossbow, ready for the hunt. She had the blueprints of the castle memorized. Another acquaintance had provided those for the right price. Glancing at the bottom of the door, she saw that only a faint stream of light flowed underneath. She guessed that a light was on downstairs. Irina peered out into the hall, her crossbow resting lightly against her cheek. She dropped it into position and followed the weapon out of the room. The passageway outside the bedroom went on for a short distance before turning to the right. Eight more bedrooms occupied the second floor of the castle. No one was in any of them. That bothered Irina. Someone should have been there. Schluter's staff included a cook and three domestics. He'd hired them in Riga. She paused at the stairway curving down to the lower floor. The grand ballroom had been set up to impress guests. Full suits of armor stood on display. All of the armor was Germanic, leading Irina to guess that Schluter had ordered those personally. Several paintings and vases filled the room. The centerpiece was the painting above the large fireplace. It portrayed a fierce-faced knight with curly blonde hair and sapphire eyes. He sat astride a rearing warhorse, his sword thrust into the air. The knight and the horse both wore white armor emblazoned with black crosses. Irina had to resist the impulse to put a crossbow bolt between those arrogant sapphire eyes. Quietly, her weapon at the ready, she descended the stone steps. Flinging herself up the steps instead of down, Irina fired her crossbow through the supports. The bolt caught a man in the forehead and snapped his head back. Staying low, Irina raced up the steps under a shower of wall tiles that crumbled above her. She took a bolt from her quiver and held it in her teeth as she put her foot in the stirrup at the front of the crossbow and yanked the string back. She fitted the bolt into the groove just as she spotted one of her attackers coming up the stairs. Throwing herself prone behind the crossbow, Irina aimed at the man's chest as he ran up the steps. She squeezed the trigger and felt the slight recoil against her shoulder. The shot didn't pierce the man's heart, as she'd intended, but instead slammed through his neck. The crossbow was so powerful that the bolt passed completely through. The man halted and held up a hand to the bright blood pouring from his neck. Until that moment, he didn't know how badly he'd been hit. Taking advantage of the dying man's astonishment, Irina pushed herself up and raced forward. She threw herself at the dying man and seized his machine pistol, then rode him like a sled to the bottom of the stairs, with machine gun bullets tracking behind her along the wall and balustrade. At the bottom of the stairs, Irina levered her arm up and opened fire on the man who had stepped out of hiding. The bullets slammed him in the chest and drove him backward. Rolling to her feet, Irina ejected the spent magazine and inserted a spare she grabbed from beside one of the dead men. Running to the foyer, Irina crept up to the door with the machine pistol in both hands. She peeked around it and saw the ruby taillights of the luxury car and two others streaming through the front gates. Schluter had guessed she would be coming and prepared accordingly. Now she had no idea where he was going or what had happened to Mario. She was more frightened and less in control than she had been at any time since she was a young girl and had walked out of her grandmother's village. Irina ran back to the room. The man she had shot was alive, just barely. Covering him with her weapon, she walked over and kicked away his machine pistol. Leaning down, she tore the man's shirt open, revealing the Kevlar vest that had saved his life. A handful of mushroomed bullets were scattered around him on the floor. She checked the immobilized man for other weapons and found 3 knives and a small semi-automatic pistol at the small of his back. She threw them out of his reach, then rolled him onto his stomach while he was still stunned. Cutting the drawstrings from the ornate curtains, she bound his hands behind him, then his feet as well. When she was satisfied with the job she'd done, she rolled him onto his back again. While she waited for him to recover, she picked up his cell phone and checked through his address book. She found Schluter's cell phone number and pressed the speed dial function.
Is she dead?
No, she isn't.
It appears you're more resourceful than I'd guessed. The man I had look into your background wasn't as thorough as he should have been. That is going to get him killed.
It's going to get you killed, too.
I think we both intended that for each other tonight. But we're both alive, aren't we?
You should think about leaving Mario alone. If you walk away, I won't have a reason to kill you.
I'd heard that you were a killer. I'd also heard that you were often for sale. Perhaps if you hadn't fallen in love with Mario Fellini, we could have been associates.
I doubt that.
It's already too late to plead for your precious Mario's life. He's been dead for hours now.
What? No!
Irena threw the phone at the painting of the Teutonic Knight, shattering it into pieces and tearing the painting. Irena turned to the man she'd tied up, filled with an uncontrollable rage. She opened the bottom of the quiver of bolts she carried. A pouch the size of her fist dropped out.
Look, you don't have to kill me.
It's not a matter of having to. It's a matter of wanting to.
You don't have to want to.
Oh, but I do. Do you know who I am?
Irena Skolyans.
That's right. Do you know what I am?
No.
Irena took a small plastic vial from the pouch. She hadn't forgotten any of her grandmother's teachings, even as she'd made her way through Europe, learning the other skills she'd needed to survive.
Many people around here know me as a witch.
I don't believe in witches.
That's all right. You're about to.
Irena spilled a greenish powder onto her palm and blew it into the man's face. The man tried to hold his breath, but it was too late. He'd already inhaled some of the powder. Calmly, Irena waited for it to take effect. The man's eyes turned glassy and sweat beaded on his forehead.
What's your name?
Wilhelm.
Good. Now you're going to answer my questions.
Yes.
Where is Schluter?
I do not know.
Where is Mario Fellini?
He's dead. Dieter killed him in New York.
Anguish tore at Irena's heart. The pain was so acute she didn't think she was going to survive it for a moment. But then that pain was replaced with a hatred for herself. Mario had come closer to her than anyone else in her life besides her grandmother, but she hadn't told him everything. That was why he'd left, because he'd begun to suspect it. She slid another vial from the pouch and poured purple powder onto her hand.
Breathe deeply.
The man drew the purple powder deep into his lungs. Almost immediately, he started shivering, then bucking uncontrollably. Blood began to leak from his nostrils, then from the corner of his mouth.
Now, die.
The man's head rolled to the side, relaxed in death, and his eyes stared off into the distance. Irena stood to gather her things. She needed to return to the village and figure out her next move. And mourn.